Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my two-year-old toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Tony Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. This episode, we are going to be talking about the 10-Day Healthy Hormone Hacks Challenge that you may have joined us on the past week or so on a social media, on our social media, on Instagram and Facebook. Today, we just want to go through a review of all the tips we covered, just in case you didn't follow us, so that you could still get benefits from that. These are just simple tips to really help to balance your hormones, give you more energy, help you feel better overall.
So I'm going to take it away, Dr. Tony, with tip number one. So this is so easy to do, but a lot of people don't, and it really can impact your energy and give you a headache too if you're not getting enough water, if you're dehydrated. So you can get symptoms that look like they're perimenopausal, but it could be due to dehydration. So if you can aim to drink about 2 liters of water a day, that can include herbal teas, and ideally you're getting filtered water, a Berkey water filter, Santivia. You can go to EWG.org. We'll link you up, but you can actually search by water filter or contaminant that you want to get out of your water. So that's really key, drinking clean, pure water. And a good strategy to get more water in is to actually have a glass right when you wake up in the morning. So that's the first thing you do in the morning. And you might even make yourself a little bit of warm water too, just to help with digestion and get things moving through your system. Another good strategy for those techies out there is an app called the Water Minder app. So it'll calculate how much water you need. And then you can set reminders on your phone that pops up to tell you when to drink water. But I'm just of the mindset, I bring my water bottle with me everywhere. I have a glass of water in our bedroom, in my clinic, in the kitchen on the go. So yes, there's a lot of dishes to be done, but that works for me.
Yeah, I always love to have a mug of water or herbal tea on my desk or beside me if I'm at home, so I can just reach it anytime. So it's really easy access.
Definitely. And one other thing water does, it helps to support many metabolic processes. You might feel hungry if you're not drinking enough water, so it may aid in some weight loss or weight management as well.
Definitely.
And tip number two. So this is simple as well, but we often forget to focus on it. So this is breathing. So how many of you, when you get anxious or busy, you just start to breathe really shallowly? That can actually make you feel more anxious and increase the release of cortisol. So there's a really simple strategy to just focus on your breath. So linking it to something, for example, every time you see the color red, like a red light or a stop sign, you take a few deep breaths. And that could look like you count in for 4 counts as you're inhaling, you hold your breath for 4 counts, you exhale for a count of 4, and then you hold it for a count of 4. So that's called box breathing. You inhale for 4 counts, hold it for 4 counts, exhale for 4 counts, hold it for 4 counts. And another strategy, if you hear your phone beep, if you have a message or your phone rings, you can also take 2 deep breaths at that moment. But really key to balance hormones, especially reducing cortisol, the stress hormone, and it can actually help to lower your blood pressure too and give you more energy and focus as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of great benefits to doing deep breathing exercises throughout the day. And it's, you know, it's so funny because it's just something that we do automatically, but if you're really mindful and conscious, you can really get more benefits in terms of your hormone balance with your breathing.
Definitely.
So tip number three is to increase fiber. There's a lot of great benefits to fiber. It's really all about binding up our garbage, binding up our hormones, to really help with proper hormone balance, and really making sure that you're getting rid of your garbage properly. And yes, I'm talking about your poo. I'm talking about your bowel movements. So so often when we're eating really, you know, a convenience foods or kind of standard North America diet, we're not getting a lot of fiber. So I really encourage people to aim for at least 25 grams of fiber daily with different types of fiber. So this is really looking at increasing the amount of veggies you're taking in, fruits, beans, legumes, nuts, and seeds. Really easy way to add fiber into your day-to-day practice is to look at adding in a number of different seeds. Really easy ways to add in fiber with seeds, making something like chia pudding. I'm a big fan of adding hemp seeds or ground flax seeds to my oatmeal in the morning. You could always add hemp seeds as well to, you know, things like your salads or your stir fries. And there's a number of different recipes. We have a couple of favorite recipes that we will post on our show notes that you can check out. Great, easy ways to get increased fiber, get your bowel movements going, get your hormones balanced.
Love it, Tony. Yeah, the hemp seeds, chia seeds, and flax seeds are great additions to your diet. Now, tip number four is to ditch the plastic. Unfortunately, plastic is ubiquitous in our environment. And as we know, they can, the BPA in there, the BPS, or other even harmful substances can definitely disrupt our hormones, and they act like estrogens. So can really make perimenopausal symptoms worse, more breast tenderness, weight gain, PMS symptoms. So it's really looking at picking one plastic item per week and trying to swap that out. So instead of using plastic bags, you can buy silicone bags online. For example, the brand Stasher is really good. Instead of using plastic wrap, you can get beeswax wraps. Avigo is a good brand for that. Avoiding the plastic bottles as much as possible, so going with glass or stainless steel. Same with your containers as well, switching that up and getting glass, silicone, ceramic, etc. And really avoiding those takeout coffee cups. And I've seen people heat them up in the microwave. So that's pretty disturbing because there is a plastic lining in them, and that is going to leach out into your drinks. And even jars, you want to get tomatoes jarred. That, the jars don't have BPA, but if you got canned tomatoes, that can leach out in there as well. Any acidic food, definitely get in a jar. Straws are becoming out of vogue now. So whenever Stuart and I go out, I have some silicone straws that I bring with us, so you don't have to use the plastic, and less places are offering those as well. So pick one thing, start to swap out your plastics. It's really going to do your hormones really a big benefits.
Yeah, I love my stainless steel straw that I have at home. And it's really nice to see that plastic straws are really kind of becoming out of vogue, and we're really starting to avoid the use of, you know, one-use plastic items, especially when we're talking about, yeah, heating things up or having them in acidic environments or any warm environment. We really want to avoid those hormone-disrupting chemicals and also, you know, taking care of our environment as well.
Definitely, yeah. We need to save this world.
Definitely. Another way of doing that with tip number five is eating organic when you can. This can be sometimes a little bit challenging depending on where you live, because there's different access to organic fruits and vegetables. My recommendation is to first look at the Dirty Dozen fruits and vegetables. There's an American group, the Environmental Working Group. Every year they come out with a list of the Dirty Dozen fruits and vegetables that have the highest amount of pesticide residues. We really want to avoid those pesticide residues. We don't want them to interfere with our hormones and our other metabolic processes. There are a number of fruits and veggies that are regularly on that list. Things like strawberries, things like spinach, apples, peaches, cherries, tomatoes, celery, potatoes, kale, nectarines. Sometimes kale and nectarines kind of go in and out of the list, but they're usually around that top amount of the fruits and veggies that have pesticide residues. there's also a list of the clean 15, because you're probably thinking, I may not be able to get organic all the time. Clean 15 are the list of fruits and veggies that have the least amount of pesticide residues on them. So again, if you're looking at, what do I buy organic? What don't I? You can really look at getting organic of the Dirty Dozen, maybe considering getting organic of the Clean 15, but it's less important. Also an idea, if organic is really a challenge to buy, I'd recommend soaking all fruits and veggies in 10% vinegar. There's even research showing that washing with baking soda can help to remove those pesticide residues. So really simple, really economical ways of reducing your exposure to those harmful chemicals.
I love that, Tony. I have a spray bottle under the sink with one part vinegar, five parts water. I spray my produce, let it sit for a bit. If it's not organic, we try to get organic as much as possible, and then rinse it off afterwards.
That's perfect.
And tip number six. So key in perimenopause is to balance estrogen levels. So a lot of times we have an estrogen excess, a progesterone deficiency that contributes to a lot of our symptoms. So you still can get hot flashes at night with low progesterone. You might have trouble losing weight. You can definitely have PMS symptoms and breast tenderness with that excess estrogen. And our fat cells actually make estrogen too. So we want to reduce this effect of those excess estrogens by eating what we call the cruciferous vegetables. So yeah, they might give you a little bit of gas. You know, if you steam them, your body can handle them a little bit better, even better for your thyroid too. But getting in those like broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, kale, rutabaga, bok choy, turnip. So you can either steam them, saute, or roast some of the root vegetable options I listed. A quick and easy tip too, you can buy organic frozen cruciferous vegetables. Sometimes you can get them as a mix, or cauliflower or broccoli on their own. And you can either lightly steam them, saute them, or if I'm in a bind, I'll just let them defrost on the couch and then, or on the couch. I don't put my food on the couch. I let them defrost on the counter and then they're ready for dinner time. So we can dip that in some hummus or baba ganoush, or have it as a side dish to our main as well. So really quick and easy. And we'll link you up to a roasted cauliflower dip recipe that you can make. That's really going to start to detoxify the excess estrogen in your body and help to balance your hormones.
That's awesome, Lisa. The cruciferous veggies are so key for helping to support the liver to properly manage and eliminate our hormones properly. And again, you get fiber from those veggies. You get other antioxidants as well. Just a great idea to really make sure that you're eating your veggies.
Definitely. I forgot to mention the indole-3-carbinol, or another form of it called DIM. You can actually get this in supplement form, but they derive it from the cruciferous vegetables, and we use it to help regulate hormones. So obviously talk to your naturopathic doctor or healthcare provider to make sure it's safe for you.
Yeah, that's why those cruciferous veggies are so healthy for our liver and for our hormones. So tip number seven, since we're already talking about helping to support the liver to manage our hormones, let's look more at some detoxifying herbs. There's definitely different herbs that we can use on a day-to-day basis to help to support our liver function, to support our kidney function, that have extra antioxidants that help our liver and kidney work better, as well as some other components to really make sure that we're properly dealing with our garbage and our hormones. Some of our favorites, cilantro, parsley, coriander, turmeric, garlic, and my all-time favorite is ginger. Ginger is such a great antioxidant herb, anti-inflammatory herb, helps to support digestion, just really great overall. There's a number of different ways that you can add those herbs in. to the food that you're making on a daily basis. You can use them, add them to, you know, chicken, fish, sprinkle them on pasta, use in salad dressings. There's a number of different recipes that you can check out. We'll definitely post a couple of our favorite recipes on our show notes. Another easy way of, you know, taking in those really healthful herbs is detox teas. There's a number of different brands out there of different blends of herbs, things like dandelion, milk thistle, schisandra, burdock. Those are all herbs that really help to support how our livers work, how our kidneys work. You can also make your own recipe, so we can post that as well on the show notes.
I love that, Tony. Every week we try to buy a different fresh herb. I wash it right away, wrap it in paper towel, stick it back in the fridge, and then we just add that to our salads or veggie dishes, just tear off a little bit and throw it in.
Awesome. Yeah, fresh herbs are great. And if not possible, always those dried herbs still can really pack a punch to them.
And tip number 8 now is all about sleep. So I know perimenopausal mamas, your sleep might be a challenge, you know, especially leading up to your period. You might be having trouble turning your brain off, or you're waking with night sweats. So it's really key for hormone balance to have some sleep etiquette and really get your body ready for a nice, deep and restful sleep. It's not only going to balance your cortisol and your stress hormones, but it's going to help to reduce your PMS symptoms, support weight loss, boost your immunity. The benefits are go on, and you can hear more about that in episode 4, our sleep solutions episode. But what can you do for a good night's sleep? Well, some simple tips to start would be to turn the screens off ideally an hour before bed. So no reading on screens either if possible. If you must use screens, then getting some blue blocker glasses. So we'll link you up to some ones on Amazon. Right now I have the Cyxus ones, C-Y-X-U-S, but there's different ones based on if you have glasses or not, but this will reduce the exposure of the blue light, which impacts our pineal gland. So that's right behind our third eye, so right between our eyes above them, that secretes melatonin, our sleep hormone. So this blue light from our TVs, from our screens, will impact the melatonin production and affect your sleep greatly. Another good thing for sleep etiquette is to lower your thermostat. So you want to sleep in a cool environment. You can sleep naked or wear minimal clothing or pajamas. Some people find benefit with a heavy blanket, just for that extra comfort, not like a warm blanket, but just like a weighted blanket people may find beneficial as well. And then have a wind down routine. So you might journal before bed, have a bath or a relaxing shower, doing yoga nidra, doing a meditation, but coming up with something that works for you. So key for hormone balance, key for energy, weight loss, immunity, the list goes on and on. So again, check out episode 4, the sleep solutions episode.
Yeah, sleep is so important for proper hormone balance. And that's where, you know, it can be easy to try and extend the day and have the lights on and you know, be on Facebook. Something that I like to do is dim the lights, pull out a book, an actual book with like paper pages.
What's and that? That before,
exactly, right? Actually with pages. Pull that out, read that before going to bed. That's kind of one of my favorite ways to end the day.
Love it.
Yeah. So tip number 9 is movement. You know, moving your body is so important. And that's where, you know, I tend to avoid the word exercise, because exercise can have a lot of negative connotations. You may hear the word exercise and think of homework, or thinking of, oh, that's just something I have to do. Moving our bodies is so key for our circulation, for our physical health, for our mental health, for decreasing stress hormones. We've talked about stress hormones over and over. We'll be talking about stress hormones even more. Moving your body, physical activity is a great way of managing that. So, and there's a number of different ways to do that. It could be as simple as getting up from your desk every hour, what Dr. Lisa likes to call exercise snacks, doing a plank, doing some squats, doing some jumping jacks, or even just walking around the room or walking out of the room, walking down the hall and walking back to the room, just getting that blood flowing, getting, shifting your perspective and your ability to concentrate and focus in a different way. Now, and if you're, spending the day with the kids, it is about looking at playing more, bundling up, taking the kids for a walk, playing at the park, whether it's summer or whether it's winter, going out, making a snowman, making snow angels, just really spending more time with your kids. Even one of my favorite indoor activities with my little girl is to have a dance party at home. So much fun. My little girl loves to dance. So it's a great way of getting your heart rate up, getting a sweat going too. Another simple thing to do when you're out shopping, do you just try and get the closest parking spot possible to the door? You might think of the opposite. If you park at the far end of the parking lot, you'll be able to get in a lot more steps, especially for you moms who have the pedometer, you're counting your steps. That's a great way of trying to add that up to the 10,000 steps at the end of the day. One more thing to kind of ask yourself is really, is it time to look at doing some activity that's more fun? Is it time to join a sports team? Is it time to join a gym that has a number of different group classes in it or a yoga studio? It really is about finding movement that works for you, works for your weekly schedule, works for your day-to-day.
Great tips, Dr. Tony. From a Chinese medicine perspective, we can talk about what's called qi stagnation. So your energy is not flowing properly if you're not moving or exercising or you're not dealing with a certain emotion. So getting that movement, that exercise, sorry, I use the word exercise, Tony, but that can
That's
stop.
All right.
Okay. That can stop that qi stagnation, and liver qi stagnation in Chinese medicine is PMS and hormone imbalances. So you'll most likely notice less PMS symptoms if you're moving regularly. And one other way to get in, Tony had so many great suggestions, is if you have the option to walk your kid if they're in school or in preschool or home care or daycare, leaving a little bit earlier, but walking them to school and back, or putting them in the stroller, walking them there and then picking them up at the end of the day, can really add those little exercise snacks in too.
That's one of my favorite ways of getting in movement when it's, not minus 20 outside. So
I know you're in Calgary. That could be pretty tough. So
it can be a little bit challenging in the winter. And that's where it's about, having a number of different ways to move so that you're not just depending on, the weather outside.
Definitely.
Yeah. Tip number 10. We want to look at greening your body care products. Now, this is a tip that isn't something that you can necessarily just complete in a day. This is something that can be a process that you really do long term, and really pay attention to, even for the years ahead. There's something that's really important is to really be mindful and really be conscious of what's in the products that you're actually putting on your body. When you're putting on lotions, makeup, using a number of different personal care products, whatever's in these products actually is being absorbed through your skin and getting into your circulation. We really want to look at avoiding any chemicals or substances that are going to interfere with your hormone balance, or even, potentially have a carcinogenic effect in your body. So what can you do? There's a couple of great resources to look at that we'll post on the show notes to check out. One of them is the David Suzuki Foundation has a Dirty Dozen for personal care products. Those are things like parabens, like fragrance, like phthalates. There are a number of different things to look at that, again, unfortunately disrupt hormones and can be carcinogenic. There's another database, Environmental Working Group has the Skin Deep database. That's where you can actually take the specific products that you're using right now, plug them in, see what the rating is. If it's a good rating, great. Keep using that product. If not, you can look at their database to give you some ideas of different brands to switch to, so that you can eventually switch out the products that don't have the greatest ratings, and so that you have, you know, just over time gaining more and more products that are going to have less detrimental effects to your body. Unfortunately, this industry, the personal care product industry, doesn't have a lot of regulations. There's a lot of unknowns. There's not a lot of toxicology studies that look at a combination of all the different chemicals from all of the different products that we put on our body. So it really is up to you to take that extra step. Be mindful of what you're putting on your skin.
I know, it's pretty scary what can get into our bloodstream, because if you even think of people wearing nicotine patches or using hormone creams or patches, things do go into the bloodstream and do have a dramatic effect. So these trace chemicals, they're called trace, I'm sure have really negative impacts on our hormones.
Yeah, so again, it's just about doing the best you can with the information that we have. And that's where sometimes we just need to increase our knowledge and just, you know, use that to the best of our abilities.
Absolutely. If you are starting to run out of one body care product, like your cream or your foundation, then that would be a good time to search a better option and give that a try.
Absolutely.
So that concludes our 10 tips. I don't want you to feel like you have to tackle all of these right away. A good strategy is to pick one or two that you feel you could use some improvement in and really focus on those, or try to implement one change per week. So don't feel overwhelmed. Every little bit does add up.
Absolutely. It's really about doing the best you can.
I totally agree. As a mom, you only have so much bandwidth, time, and energy to even think about these things. So even if you just pick one and say, I'm going to have a glass of water right when I wake up because I'm not doing it right now, that's awesome. That's a really great start.
Absolutely. So Dr. Lisa, it's time for the super mom moment. Do you have a super mom moment to share with us today?
I do. I'm currently right now day 21 of my, it's going to be a 31-day detox. So I'm avoiding gluten, dairy, sugar, alcohol, and chocolate. Not that I had a ton of those, but my chocolate intake was definitely creeping up before the holidays. You know, I try to do 80% dark chocolate, but I was needing a little bit more to get me through the day. I usually eat dairy-free and gluten-free, although if we're out or over the holidays, I might have had it a few times, again, trying not to get too much sugar or alcohol. But over the holidays, again, there's more parties and some more alcohol. So I was starting to feel the effects and my sleep was getting even worse. I've always struggled with sleep, especially leading up to my period, with sometimes trouble staying asleep. I might wake up in the middle of the night and be thinking, and it's harder to turn my brain off or feel a little bit warm. But since doing this detox or cleanse, I actually feel way more energy in the day. I don't get a little dip in the afternoon where I need to like take, you know, 20-30 minutes of downtime before getting Stuart. I actually have a burst of energy to do a bit more. As I said, my sleep is better, so I'm falling asleep and staying asleep a lot easier, and I just feel more clear mentally focused. So it's definitely been a positive experience. I haven't done one of these for a while. I think since I've actually had Stuart, I used to do them pretty regularly. I didn't have the energy or, you know, the bandwidth to try and fit it in up until now. But for anyone, even just cutting out one of those things can make a huge difference with your hormones. So right now, day 21, about, you know, 10 more days to go. So I'll keep you posted.
Awesome. Good for you, Lisa. It's always great to do those kind of things after the holidays. So, you know, when we find those extras creep in, it's, you know, so normal for that to happen. So sometimes it's just great to just spend, a set amount of time to really clean things up. Good for you.
For sure. Thanks, Tony. And now, Tony, I know you're doing a great job as a mom to Frankie, but can you dig deep and find a mom mess up that you've had recently?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm sure I could share a few with you. And the big one that has happened since our last episode, well, even since my last mom mess up over the holidays, you know, when you're at a different place over the holidays, you know, visiting family, it can provide some challenges. And that's where, you know, I really wasn't paying attention when we went to family, stay with family over the holidays. We weren't even at the house for an hour. We let Frankie run around on her own. She found her way into her cousin's room and fell on her mouth on her cousin's metal bed frame.
Oh, Frankie.
Poor thing. I felt terrible because I'm sure if I was really, you know, paying attention to what she was doing, this really could have been prevented. So she cut her gums. Thankfully, her teeth were fine. She cut her gum. There was bleeding. There was crying. She had a swollen lip for a couple of days. So that was definitely a mom mess up that you know, was weighing on my shoulders. You know, lesson learned to really pay attention to where she's running around to and what she's doing. Sure, it could have maybe, you know, being a little bit more mindful of that could have saved us for having her first trip to the dentist. But, you know, it all worked out in the end, thankfully.
We've all been there. I know you look away for a second or you know, you think they're in a safe place playing and then all of a sudden you hear the crying and you're like, oh no, what just happened?
It just makes your heart sink.
I've been there, believe me.
Oh, I'm sure it'll happen again. It's just one of those things, right?
It is. It's inevitable, really.
For sure. So Lisa, do you have a mama must have to share with us?
I do. Yeah. Mama must have that really is applicable to what we talked about today is a dry skin brush. So you want to get what's called a natural bristle brush and they're a little bit like harder. So it's not like a soft like sponge. It's going to cause some exfoliation. It usually has a handle on it too. So what this does, and I'll explain how you do it, but it actually increases your circulation and your lymphatic flow. So it delivers everything towards the heart. So eventually you can flush out more toxins, more bad or excess types of hormones to be excreted from the body. It also makes your skin feel great. You get rid of those dead cells. You get a nice glow, but it's a good practice to do before your shower. So it could take even just 2 minutes where you're holding the brush, you start at your feet and you do short, circular, brisk brushes. You don't want to press too hard to like occlude any blood flow, but it's short, brisk brushes, circular motions towards the heart. And then you move to your hands and go up your arms towards the heart. And then you can do, you know, your torso towards the heart, your back towards your heart. That can be a bit challenging, but it could take even 2 minutes, 3 minutes and doing that as much as possible before your shower. I admit I don't do it every day, but I go through phases, especially when I'm doing detoxes where I really try to focus on getting that in. So we'll link up to a dry skin brush that we really like in the show notes on our episode, the show notes on our website.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of dry skin brushing, especially in the winter when with the kind of dry skin that can kind of, you know, just not be exfoliated properly. It really can feel good before a shower or a bath to do that.
Yeah, it gives you a little burst of energy. It kind of wakes you up and gives you like a little jolt.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that, Lisa. And thank all of you for joining us today. If you have any comments, suggestions, burning questions for us, please let us know. Visit our website, connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love for you to subscribe. So if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review, a 5-star rating, and subscribe. And please tell all of your perimenopausal mama friends about us too.
Until next time, have a great week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.